둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with... It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. I do hope you hit that subscribe button, of course, so you can pick up three new interviews every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover some new ones at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Don't forget also to leave the show a rating and a review if you feel so inspired. Those always help out quite a bit. We've had some great guests on lately. Director Richard Linklater and actress Adria Ahorna was here to talk about The Hitman. It's out now on Netflix. Carly Pierce, she's got a new record, Hummingbird. Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers. Brandi Carlile, Ani DeFranco, Maya Hawke to talk about not only her new album Chaos Angel, but also her movie Wildcats and shooting the final season of Stranger Things. Caleb Falua from Kings of Leon was here. Tadanobu Asano from Shogun. Carl Clemens Hopkins from Hacks on HBO Max. Joe Talbot from Idols, the cast of The Big Cigar. Just an example of what you can get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, it's a special rewind episode. We're heading back to 2017. When I talked with Derek Trucks of the Tedeschi Trucks Band about their live album, Live from the Fox Oakland, we talk about the magic that was in the air that night. We talk about covering Leonard Cohen, George Harrison, and Eric Clapton, and how improv on stage has affected his life off stage. He's one of the greatest guitarists of all times. He's a hell of a great songwriter and a seriously nice guy and a lot of fun to talk with. It's rewinding back to 2017 to talk about Live from the Fox Oakland. It's Kyle Meredith with Derek Trucks.
Hey, man.
Excited about this this new live album, which I think I had on the entire weekend, just blasting around the house.
So. Nice, man. Yeah, I'm excited about this one. I think we caught the band in a good place.
Well, that's, of course, what we're going to be talking about here, Live from the Fox Oakland. And I guess that's the first question is, assuming that you probably record, you know, a lot of your shows, what was it about this night that stuck out that said, that's the one we have to put out?
Well, you know, we ramped up our recording setup on the West Coast tour. The band was in a good place. It was kind of moving into this really creative space, and everyone's head was on right. There's this ebb and flow anytime you're out with 12 people and it's improvisational. You know, there's good runs and there's runs that are kind of work. Mm-hmm. And then there's times where the band is just kind of firing, and we were heading into that. So we decided we wanted to capture the band, and we put together this recording setup, and and just hope that we would get the band in that spot. And the whole run was strong. I think the second show in San Diego, I felt like we had a live record in the bag. So then it was a matter of just trying to up it, you know,
right.
knowing that we felt like we had one. And we also knew we were going to be filming two nights. So, you know, the dream scenario was to have the live record be also the night that was filmed. But I wasn't counting on it, because usually when the cameras come out, everyone tightens up and the show suffers a little bit. But you know, the first night, I think that happened. The first show was good, but it wasn't great. It certainly wouldn't have been the live record. But the second night, I think there was, everyone was so frustrated from the first show that it all came pouring out.
Right.
we hit the stage and it was just a different beast. And, you know, I think it was the best show of the whole run. And, you know, I like the continuity of it being from one show and not a compilation of best versions of tunes.
I mean, that's got to be some added weight when you know it's going to be a two-part, not just the album, but also the video. You've got to look good as well as sound good, I guess.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of personalities. I mean, it's 12 people on stage, so you have to try to get everybody in the same headspace and make sure everybody's, you know, thinking the right things. And I think the first show, there was a little bit, it was in everyone's head a little bit. So we right when we got off stage, we had a little powwow about it. And, you know, the first night in Oakland, there's people have a lot of friends and guests out there, and it was mayhem backstage the first night. And we shut it down. I talked to the road manager. I was like, no guest. We got a show to do. You know, if people want to get, you can walk them back. But as soon as you're gone, they're gone. Like, this is not, we can't throw the victory party before the show happens. We got to go out there and earn it. So the second night felt so much better. It really, sometimes you have to get into that sports team locker room mentality where, you know, you need to be face to face with the people you're on stage with, in a quiet space for a few minutes before you hit the stage. So it's a lesson that we keep relearning. You know, I've been on the road so long, you forget about simple things like that. You know, when you're first starting out, there's one dressing room and the band just ends up there, and that's, you know, you naturally do that. As things progress, you know, these theaters, there's five levels of dressing rooms and people can spread out, and which is nice, but you got to get it back to the basics of, you know, we're in this together, playing music together. You got to sometimes force it.
So very mature and adult of you.
Yeah, at times, you know, it comes and goes.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Derek Trucks.
So when you're listening back on this, and especially those unscripted parts, those improvisational parts, which I guess is really what you have to look at for a band like you on a record like this, or am I wrong? Because the songs are the songs, and it's those flavorful moments that really make the night. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, there were four or five moments in that show that we had never had before, and they went to really nice places. Like there was a lot of band improvisation, and everyone felt relaxed, and everybody let things kind of unfold, and different people would kind of take the ball and run at different times. It really was a good night. But yeah, for me, that's what separates a good show from a great show, is when you have those unscripted moments and everyone feels it and you can't quite put your finger on how it got there or if you'll get back there again. It kind of doesn't matter, you know, because I mean, the musicianship in this band, I mean, the really to a person on stage, it's playing the songs well is not generally the problem. it's tapping into those really inspired places that those are the things that you want to capture. You know, generally, at this point, the band's been on the road long enough where the bar is pretty high. Like, I mean, you know, I mean, there's good nights and there's bad nights, but It's the ones where you tap into that thing that you can't plan for that stands out. I think that night we definitely stumbled into it.
And the covers speak for that as well. I mean, you didn't go for any popular catalog choices for the covers. Like, most of these are deep cuts from the bands, which, I don't know, would seem like it would be easier to make your own rather than a song that the audience had committed to memory eons ago.
You know, we play enough where a lot of times we're throwing tunes in just to keep the band on its toes. I mean, there's 50, 60, 70 tunes right now that are kind of in rotation, and from one night to the next, you know, you're constantly mixing it up. I mean, there's people that'll travel from gig to gig, and you want to make sure that the set list is varying. But a lot of it's really for the people on stage too. I mean, we like working tunes to the point where you certainly know them, but it's also nice to throw two or three or four songs in a night that maybe you haven't played for a bit. It keeps everybody thinking, and you know, there's some musically restless people on stage, just really creative oddballs that we live and travel with. So you got to keep coal on it, keep the thing lit.
I'd kind of be curious, though, you know, for a live album, for what you guys are doing. And I guess I take this a little bit from those liner notes that David from Rolling Stone wrote about using the live album as a continuing story and not just a holdover. Like, that sort of works for you guys more than some other folks, because a lot of bands, you put out a live album and it's like, okay, here's the holdover until the next record. But this sort of feels like, I don't know, like a beast in itself.
Yeah, you know, I think the way this band operates is, you know, you will write a bunch of tunes, you make a record, you spend a good amount of time and energy doing that, and then you hit the road for a while. And when you hit the road, it's kind of, you're kind of working into the next writing session, and that's kind of when some of these songs that you wrote on the last record fully take on a life of their own, and they become maybe fully realized, you know. And I feel like it's a step forward, and it's not we don't go out and tour the studio record and then play all the tunes from the new record every night and push a single. It's just not the way we operate. I think it frustrates our management and things sometimes, because there'll be a song that happens to maybe catch on AAA radio or something, and we don't play it every night. We're like, well, it didn't feel good last night. We'll get back to it. So, you know, it's kind of, you're always pushing, and you're always trying to find new things for the band to dig into. And sometimes it's covers, sometimes it's old tunes from our catalog, sometimes it's songs we're writing. And the live record very much is kind of the next step from the previous record. And yeah, and like you said, it's not really a filler.
Right. Well, for what it's worth, though, you know, I mean, we played the heck out of Let Me Get By, you know, on this last round. And luckily enough, you closed the entire set with that one on this one. So, it worked in our favor this time around.
You know, I got to say, the last record we made in the studio, it really did feel, it had the feel of being on tour with the band, because everybody came down to the studio, and we just wrote tunes together as a group, and it was this natural thing that happened. And I'm thinking that going forward, that'll be the natural course of things with this band making records. It will very much be an extension of what we do on the road. But you know, it's nice, the studio, there's different avenues you can explore that you can't on stage. You know, you can get a little more introspective, and you can deal with sounds and things that you can't. There's subtleties that are really hard to get across in a live setting, that in the studio you can really spend time on and kind of wrap your ears and your mind around. So it's nice having the two avenues, and I feel like this band is good at both. I've certainly been in groups where they really excel in one place, and either you get it on the road and it's not the same, or the opposite, where bands that just are happy on stage, you get them in the studio and everyone kind of clams up. So this band is good. I feel like it's at home in both places, which is good.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Derek Trucks. You know, you're mentioning those avenues, and there's another one I'd be curious about, and I'm, you know, it's probably been talked about in the past, but you know, the conversational plane that you have with someone through a band like yours, especially when you're working off of, you know, the tightrope walk of improv on stage. But you have that special relationship, of course, with your wife. And I'd kind of be curious, like, how's that changed through the years beyond, like, I guess your other musicians? And has that changed the way you guys communicate off the stage as well?
You know, it has. I mean, by the time we put this band together, we had been married for almost, I guess, about a decade, and we had two kids, so we knew each other pretty well. But putting a band together and hitting the road, it's a different level of knowing somebody. I mean, it really is. And we went into it knowing that it's a bit of a dangerous proposition, but I think we trusted each other enough, and we felt like we had been together long enough. But it's surprised us how good it's gone. Yeah. it's been an amazing run. I feel like I know we're closer than we ever were. You know, things at home and on the road have just been, it's been this great growth. And I think playing music together, especially the type of music you play, there's a line of communication and honesty that's just wide open. I mean, we have, and this goes not just for me and Susan, but in anyone in the band. I mean, when you're improvising with somebody, you can feel when something's wrong. You can feel when there's something on somebody's mind. I mean, it's hard to unleash and really play with somebody when there's those weird little hang-ups. So across the board, if there's any of that, we have, right after the show, we'll have a hot wash. we'll close down a few bars just talking about what happened that night on stage or all these little things. And we've gotten to this point where keeping the air clear is kind of the name of the game. And a lot of that you learn from being around situations where that never happens.
Right.
And you have these bands where there's grudges for 20, 30, 40 years. Like, how did that happen? Oh yeah, no one talks to each other. Right. That's right. How it happens. So it's with our relationship with the band across the board, the line of communication is in a pretty amazing place right now. It's harder work doing it that way, but in the end, it's the opposite. It makes it so much better and easier and truer, and I think you can hear and feel those things.
Well, I mean, the amount of work you guys put in it is completely evident in the live shows and the albums, and we've loved following everything that you guys have done so far. So I'll wrap by just saying congratulations on another stellar release here.
Yeah, we're excited to get this one out there. I think it's a great snapshot of the band. And I think everyone's kind of itching to get back in the studio and start the next one.
That's so what I like
there's
to
no,
hear.
Yeah, there's no stop. Yeah. Not with 12 people. If you stop, you'll sink.
Somebody gets hungry. That's what happens. Somebody gets hungry.
For sure.
All right, Derek, it was a real pleasure talking to you, man. We'll see you around.
All right, we'll see you down the road.
My thanks to Derek Trucks, talking about Live from the Fox of Oakland back in 2017. They've had several releases since then, and I hear there's a new one on the way as well. Thanks to Derek, and thanks to you for checking out the episode. Please, again, do hit that subscribe button so you can get all the interviews that I send your way every single week, and do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. After that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from The Clash, David Bowie, Neil Young, Hayes Carl and Band of Heathens, Macy Gray, Prince, Squeeze, Casey Musgraves, Big Thief, Royal Otis, Pretenders, Suzanne Vega, Billie Holiday, The Killers, Lou Reed, Wishy, The Secret Sisters, Ray LaMontagne, Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, Soul Asylum, Semisonic, and my interview with Scoot McNairy, as we talked about a trio of movies he's starring in, Blood for Dust with Kit Harington, Speak No Evil, and Night Bitch with Amy Adams. Again, just an example of what you can hear every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith, and I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.